This is The Guardian.
Hi, Laura Murphy Oates here. Before we kick off Full Story for 2022, we're revisiting some of our best episodes from the past year. Today, in an episode that originally aired in May last year, the story of Diego Franco, a former Deliveroo rider. During the pandemic, delivery riders and drivers just became so essential to everyday life in a socially distanced world. But a series of high-profile cases, including Diego's, shone a spotlight on the shocking conditions for many of these workers. And it does seem that cases like this and this overwhelming pressure has had some effect, as you'll hear in this episode. Okay, enjoy. Last week, in a landmark case, Australia's Fair Work Commission ruled that a Deliveroo rider was an employee, not a contractor. The case of Diego Franco versus Deliveroo Australia could have ramifications for the wider gig economy, where last year, five food delivery riders died in the space of 2 months, exposing the precarious and sometimes dangerous working conditions that many workers are subjected to. Today, is the tide turning on workers' rights in Australia's gig economy? It's Tuesday, the 25th of May. So, Naaman, it seems like a good place to start would be with a bit of information about who the parties in this Fair Work Commission case are. Tell me about them.
Well, on one side, we have the food delivery company Deliveroo.
Naaman Zoe is a reporter at Guardian Australia.
Deliveroo has been around for a while now, since 2013. Contrary to its very Australian name, it actually started in London.
Mm.
But it operates all over the world, including, as we all know, in Australia. And on the other side is delivery rider Diego Franco. Diego is from Brazil, and he actually arrived in Australia on Christmas Day in 2016, along with his wife and his two-year-old daughter. Diego came here on a temporary visa, and like a lot of new migrants who are on those kinds of visas, he initially found work hard to come by. But Diego owned a motorcycle, and just 4 months after he arrived in Australia, he started working as a delivery rider to try and provide for his family.
I've been working for them, providing a great service for over 3 years. I was the only provider for my wife and my young daughter at the moment, yeah.
He is a really open, pretty passionate guy, and he has a lot to say about the 3 years he spent working there and how it all ended.
For me, I don't understand until this day what happened.
Mm. What was the process like? How do you actually get accepted as a delivery driver for Deliveroo?
Diego applied to Deliveroo on the 10th of April, 2017. He said he owned his own form of transport, a motorcycle. And a few days later, Deliveroo said his application had been accepted.
That does sound pretty simple. Is that all? Do they have to do any sort of training or anything to get accepted?
There were a few things that he had to do. So Diego completed an online quiz. He signed a Deliveroo supply agreement, which is essentially the contract that you sign to become a worker for them.
Mm.
He completed an onboarding session, which taught him how to use the app. And they offered him the classic Deliveroo branded clothing, which he actually had to pay a bond of $220 for.
Mm.
3 weeks after he signed up, Diego started his work as a delivery rider.
And how does Deliveroo work? I know from conversations we've had in the past that these apps all have different way of assigning jobs to the riders. What happens at Deliveroo?
So Deliveroo, or at least at the time when Diego was working for them, assigned geographical zones that riders could choose to work in.
Mm.
That didn't limit where you could work all the time. But for most of the time that Diego worked for Deliveroo, riders had to book in their sessions in advance. So you could choose a date where you could work and you could choose a place.
Mm, so it's kind of like Wednesday Inner West, you know, they would say that they could deliver in that area. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Diego, one of his areas was Glebe and Marrickville in Sydney's Inner West. And the ability to book these systems was based on a priority system. So better performing riders would often have the first pick of the shifts for the next week.
Mm.
This booking system actually changed at the start of 2020, and riders after that could freely log in and make themselves available to deliver at any time. But for the large portion of Diego's work for Deliveroo, it was the pre-booked system.
Mm. As we've discussed with you on the podcast before, the conditions for some of these workers are pretty horrendous, you know, delivering food in all sorts of conditions, very little job security, and not really a livable wage for some people. Does Diego's experience mirror any of that we already know?
Yep. Well, it does seem like conditions for him were tough. Diego spoke about this at a press conference quite recently.
Yeah, that was a very frustrating moment for me, especially because I've been providing great service for the company, working in the heat of the summer, in the cold of the winter, in the rain, in all kind of bad situations.
And in terms of job security as well, Diego was basically able to be kicked off the app at any time.
What do you mean?
Well, Deliveroo regularly tracked its delivery riders and used data analytics to compare their times.
Mm.
So Deliveroo identified Diego's time, which they call a rider experience time, as being between 10 and 30% slower than the average delivery time of other riders in his geographical zone.
That sounds like a very intense level of oversight for a company to have on their worker. I mean, is this normal in the gig economy to do this?
Yeah, I've done a few articles actually where I've spoken to other riders for other companies. They all tell me that they feel an intense pressure to work faster. They've said to me directly they feel like they've been forced to work faster and their company tracks their deliveries and tells them when they're running too slow.
Mm.
We also know there are other companies, not in the food delivery space, but companies like Amazon. They're pretty notorious for monitoring their own fulfillment center workers and their productivity.
Mm.
And actually, Amazon is a major investor in Deliveroo.
Okay, so what did Deliveroo do with this information about Diego's delivery times?
On the 3rd of February 2020, Deliveroo sent an email to Diego warning him that his supplier agreement, his contract, could be terminated because of these delays with his delivery times. On the 23rd of April that year, they sent another email saying because he was failing to deliver orders in that reasonable time frame, he had breached his agreement and they gave him 7 days notice of termination.
And then suddenly I just got an email, and from that email I was not to be part of the team of the company.
His access to the app was disabled 7 days later on the 30th of April.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back to April 2020, it was a really stressful time, as we all know. What impact did losing his job have on him? What was that like for Diego?
Well, as someone on a temporary visa, Diego didn't have access to government support like JobSeeker or JobKeeper.
Mm.
He has openly said it was a very, very stressful time.
We still are facing one of the greatest effect by the COVID, and that whole situation, that was basically my only source of income at the time, and that was very bad for me to feel treated that way, because as I mentioned, that was my pretty much only source of income, and the whole world was struggling, and being like kicked out of my job was really stressful that period.
He did actually continue to work as a delivery rider and moved instead to other competitor companies like Uber Eats and DoorDash.
Okay, so what happens next for Diego?
So Diego got some help from the Transport Workers Union, who are the union who represent food deliverers, gig economy food deliverers.
Mm.
And he filed a claim of unfair dismissal in the Fair Work Commission in May 2020.
Can you describe what that is?
So unfair dismissal is when someone has been fired from their job and it is considered harsh, unjust, or unreasonable.
Mm.
So if you think you've been unfairly dismissed, you can lodge an application with the Fair Work Commission, which is a tribunal that resolves employment disputes.
Mm.
for most people, that will be the first port of call for any workplace disputes. And it's not a court. Hearings are in front of a commissioner, not a judge. But the commissioners do have the power to make orders on the cases in front of them. And that can be reinstating you to your position or compensation. But in order to be protected from unfair dismissal, you need to be an employee.
Right. And because he's a gig economy worker, he's not technically an employee. Is that right?
So this was actually the question that went before the Fair Work Commission. And it's actually come before them a number of times, I should point out, for various companies.
Mm.
Deliveroo argued that Diego was an independent contractor. And because he was not an employee, he had not been dismissed.
Mm.
Diego's legal team argued he was an employee and he actually had been unfairly dismissed.
So how did these two opposing arguments play out at the tribunal?
So the Fair Work Act, which is the legislation that the Fair Work Commission has to enforce, does not actually give you black and white definitions or, you know, boundaries either way of what an employee is.
Mm.
So it's actually up to what we call the common law. So that's law decided in individual cases by judges and then applied through precedent to decide who is and who isn't an employee.
Mm.
So to figure that out, a commissioner or maybe even a judge looks at previous court decisions in the High Court or even lower, the Federal Court, or in previous decisions of the Fair Work Commission.
So what happened here?
So the commissioner in this case, Ian Cambridge, applied a number of tests that weigh up basically a lot of different facts to determine whether someone is a contractor or an employee. In this case, for example, he weighed up things like the level of control the app had over Diego compared to his ability to work for competitors or for himself.
And what were the types of things that he looked at specifically? What did he find?
So the commissioner wrote in his eventual judgment that, for example, Deliveroo established an expectation that Diego had to dress in Deliveroo-branded clothes and also that he had his equipment had to have the Deliveroo logo.
Hmm.
Now, they did actually point out that the company did not compel or require Diego to do this, but they encouraged him to, and he actually did. And he wrote that Diego was, quote, clearly encouraged to present himself to the world as a part of the Deliveroo business. He also wrote in the judgment that though it appeared that Diego had the freedom to choose when and where to work, the practical reality of this booking system meant that he had to make himself available only for certain times and that there was pressure to not cancel those engagements.
Hmm.
I know in other cases as well, people have argued that because you can be booted from an app for declining too many requests, that that places a pressure on you to accept them.
Mm. So it's almost like a shift, really, like a regular worker's shift.
Exactly. And in court, Diego's lawyer told the commission that Diego became the human embodiment to both the customers and the restaurants.
What was the conclusion of this tribunal case?
So in the words of the commissioner, as he so eloquently put it, all the different elements of this, like the colours from an artist's palette, emerged to form a complete picture that it was in fact an employer-employee relationship.
And does that automatically mean that he was also unfairly dismissed?
No. If anything, that was just the first step.
Mm.
So the next step after the commission found that he was an employee is to prove that his dismissal was harsh, unjust, or unreasonable.
Mm.
So the commissioner used the example of if you're an employee, if you're consistently late for work, but your boss doesn't really care or doesn't really warn you, they can't suddenly fire you for being late. They need to give you a warning that being late for work could result in you being fired. The commissioner found that despite the company emailing him to say his orders were slow, they didn't advise what delivery times were actually expected of him. And he ultimately ruled that Diego's dismissal was indeed unjust, unreasonable, and unnecessarily harsh. He wrote that Deliveroo had an entirely unjust and unreasonable process including the complete absence of any opportunity for Diego to be heard before the decision to dismiss him was made. He also went in on precisely how big and global Deliveroo is. He wrote, "Deliveroo is not a small business employer, and the size of its enterprise should have enabled it to have adopted far more acceptable and professional standards."
And how did Deliveroo react to this ruling that Diego was unfairly dismissed?
A spokeswoman for Deliveroo told me after the ruling that it planned to appeal the decision and it was confident that its riders are independent contractors. Deliveroo told me, "We do not accept the premise upon which the decision was taken and do not believe this reflects how Deliveroo riders work with the company in practice." The company said, "Riders have the absolute freedom to decide whether, when, and where they work. And if they do go online, they can decide how long to work and can freely reject any offer of work offered to them."
What did this ruling mean for Diego?
So Diego sought reinstatement as one of the remedies for his unfair dismissal. So he now has the right to continue working for Deliveroo again. Mm. And it looks like they may have to pay him some lost wages as well.
After all this, is he going to go back and work there?
When he was asked about this last week, he said he still needed to digest the ruling and to speak to his wife.
"Well, I've just heard it. I just have briefly time to read it. And I'm about to discuss that with my wife and we'll see what is the best for us at the moment. So justice was made today and hopefully for the best, we'll have better conditions for all riders in and outside Australia. And that was a big step towards the fairness of hard workers such as myself and thousands of other riders that provide a great service for those companies that make millions, if not billions of dollars each and every year. And some of us doesn't get a fair treatment from those companies. But today was a great day."
Next, what this ruling means for the rights of gig economy workers. I'm wondering how significant this ruling is, that the Fair Work Commission found that Diego was an employee. Has this ever happened before?
Well, actually, in 2018, the exact same commissioner made a very similar ruling that a worker for the now collapsed company Foodora was also an employee, not a contractor, and that was also found in an unfair dismissal claim.
Hmm.
So at the time, the administrators of Foodora said they probably owed their workers a total of $5 million because they had been incorrectly classified as independent contractors.
Wow.
And Uber, the parent company of Uber Eats, has been before the Fair Work Commission a fair few times as well. However, in their cases, the commission has actually sided with Uber. So there's a few rulings of the commission that Uber Eats and Uber rideshare drivers are not employees. But the thing to remember is that there's a difference between the Fair Work Commission and a court. So rulings of the Fair Work Commission can be appealed and they can be appealed to the full bench of the Fair Work Commission. And then after that, they can be appealed to the federal court. So in Australia, a lot of the legal experts are still waiting for the first ever federal court ruling on contractor versus employee.
As you said, a ruling in the federal court carries much more weight and could really change things. Have any cases ended up in the federal court?
There was a relevant case involving Uber that was set to go before the federal court, but Uber decided to settle it in December last year. This was a case involving an Uber Eats delivery rider called Amita Gupta, who also sued the company for unfair dismissal. It was set to go before the full bench of the federal court, but because it was settled, Uber then avoided what would have become a landmark ruling on the status of gig workers.
Mm.
The Transport Workers Union told us at the time that Uber had settled because their first full court hearing in front of the judges went so badly that they settled out of fear of losing.
What did Uber say about why they settled?
So a spokesman for Uber told me at the time that they welcome the resolution of the case. They said that Uber Eats has previously won this case in two hearings before the Fair Work Commission, a specialist employment tribunal, including before the full bench, which comprised the three most senior members of the commission, including the president.
If the federal court had ruled that the worker was an employee in that case against Uber, would that have had international ramifications for the gig economy?
Well, I'm a bit unsure about international, but definitely within Australia. So labour law expert Joellen Riley Munton told me that Uber settled because if it lost, it could have reshaped the entire gig economy business model.
And is that the end of Diego's case for now?
Deliveroo have said that they will appeal this. So because this was made by one commissioner, they can appeal it to the full bench of the Fair Work Commission. And then if Deliveroo are still unhappy with that, or if Diego is unhappy with that, it could go up to the federal court again.
How long could that take?
Well, the court process in Australia is very slow, so I don't actually know, but it could take a year or more.
Okay, so from what you've just outlined, it does sound like relying on change via the courts could take a very long time. Is there another quicker way to ensure that delivery riders and drivers get better working rights in the meantime?
Yes, so I think we may have actually talked about it the last time I was on the pod, Laura, but the government throughout this entire time can essentially do something right now through either regulation or legislation. The companies as well, let's not forget, could change this overnight if they wanted to.
Can you explain that? What could the government and the companies do?
So gig worker advocates have long called for the government to either amend the Fair Work Act, so that would require passing legislation, but the government could possibly create either new categories of protections that cover gig workers. They could be halfway between a contractor or an employee, or for certain matters like workers' compensation, or for something specific like workers' compensation in the event of death, state parliaments, for example, New South Wales, can just write special provisions called deeming provisions that deem certain workers to be covered.
So it could be as simple as just adding a few words or sentences.
At its easiest level, yes. There's obviously all manner of concerns that different groups are raising with new legislation. But again, to return to the idea of workers' compensation for people who have died, pretty much all the experts are in an agreement. We actually do that kind of one word change all the time, and there's no reason that we can't do that now.
Okay, so what about the companies? What could they be doing?
So what's been really interesting since we spoke last is we've actually seen a lot of industry movement. So last month, rival food delivery company Menulog said it would abandon the gig economy model and attempt to make all its workers employees within a few years. Last time I was here, I think I said something like the courts are one of the slowest ways to bring about change. So it's really interesting to see that at least some members of the industry are feeling a social pressure to do it instead.
I feel like that social pressure also extends to when people are ordering. I have seen since that announcement, you know, friends say, oh, you know, order with Menulog. They give their workers better rights. Is that something that you see?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really great to hear. It also reminded me, ages ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, actually, I wrote an explainer about what the most ethical way to order delivery food was. And Menulog was one of the best options because they didn't actually use gig workers. So Menulog started off just as a portal that you would order online from restaurants that already had their own either employees or contractors to work for them. And it was actually only in about mid-2018, after Uber Eats came into the market, that Menulog decided to actually use a fleet of gig workers. So in many ways, they're actually just returning to their roots.
But from what you said, it sounds like giving all of their employees full rights may still be a while off. Like, we can't just pat them on the back just yet. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. The managing director of Menulog has been very, very clear to stress that this is just a trial. He appeared before New South Wales Parliament recently as well and stressed that the point of this trial was to look at the data and the stats and the lessons that come out of it. And then only after that will the company actually make a decision.
Do you think that within the next few years, delivery drivers and riders will have full employment rights in Australia?
I think the answer is that the gig economy is not going away. And there is a reason that so many people still order food through these apps. And these companies make huge profits, and there's a reason for that, and there's a reason why they don't give that up. But without a doubt, we will arrive at least better conditions for these workers and probably a kind of middle ground in terms of a new kind of regulation or a new kind of classification.
Mm.
And that will also be in a large part thanks to Diego and other delivery riders who have brought or bring these cases to the Fair Work Commission, who escalate these cases, all these different voices that come together and tell people what it's really like.
Yeah, yeah. I feel a bit of relief that the just was made, as I told. I hope that many others will benefit from this victory today, and the truth has come out, and there's no way we are stepping back.
Since recording, Deliveroo have appealed the judgment, and both parties agreed that Deliveroo would pay Franco $300 a week, pending the outcome of the appeal. Also, a decision from the Fair Work Commission about whether to change employment law to make a completely new award for on-demand delivery riders or to modify the existing award is still pending. That's it for today. Thanks to Naaman Zoe for his time. His reporting on this issue has since been nominated for a Walkley Award. So if you haven't yet, do check it all out. We've put some links to it and some links to a previous episode he did on delivery rider deaths on the Full Story page as well. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert, myself, and Ryan Pemberton. Additional production on our whole Best Of series was by Beth Atkinson-Quinton. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Martignoni, Gabrielle Jackson, and me, Laura Murphy-Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you next time.